wait till next year. Next I'm year. At the top, get respect while I get fit. Get who got fit. A problem, huh? What? Tell them to step here.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome into another episode of the Work Shoot Show. I'm your host, Mr. Lyndon Burden. I am flying solo this week because our guy Pete is still in Japan, but I believe Pete will be back this upcoming Thursday. So you may be getting an episode with me and him this upcoming Thursday. If not, it'll be the following. But this is the beginning of giving you more Work Shoot Show content outside of interviews, because if you notice, I like to do these episodes with other people, but I've realized I need to be able to give you solo content just as well as if Pete wants to give you guys solo content, I need to be able to do that. And it's me leaning back on what I did in radio to do this, because if you notice on the Bros You Think Network entirely, I never really give solo content. I like to always give content with my brothers, with the staff, with the family, always. So, but I'm trying to venture in that way you guys can get more content on YouTube. That way you guys can get more stuff in general. And you may get solo J content. You may get solo Jazz content. You may get solo Schubert content, solo Reg content. That is all coming as we want to intend to not only grow the Spotify and grow each brand, because each show to me is like a brand. And so to not only grow that, but to grow the YouTube. Shout out to our YouTube audience. You guys have been killing it. You guys have been killing it with not only likes, subscribers, and views. Shout out to y'all. Look, Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud listeners, I want y'all to step it up so I can shout y'all out as well. But we appreciate each and every person who supports us nonetheless. But it's the Work Shoot Show. We have a lot to discuss today. Let me give you the basic rundown of the show. Today, we're going to be discussing AEW, my problems with AEW right now, and the way that Swerve has been handled so far with the most recent Dynamite. I will talk about my favorite matches from Dynasty, but I will save the real review, the way me and Pete do scores, for when he gets back. But I will talk Dynasty because I know you guys want to know my thoughts on Dynasty, as well as we are going to give you my thoughts on what's going on in WWE right now. Post, I guess you'd say, post-Mania, but basically pre-Backlash. And look, I know I'm going to get negative on AEW this episode, but that doesn't mean that WWE is free from the smoke. Triple H is not perfect, and we saw that with the WWE draft, and we will get to that even though we've only seen part one. I think I know everything I need to know about from seeing the SmackDown episode. Unless the Raw episode comes and drops just crazy revelations, then yeah, I know everything I need to know, and we will discuss that as well. But the main topic for this here episode is I feel that a lot of things have changed, and I view wrestling as, and I know AEW fans will be mad about this, and as you know, if you listen to this podcast from the jump, AEW got me back into wrestling, like straight up. AEW, specifically Kenny Omega and what he did with Bullet Club, and Pete telling me, hey, Lyndon, watch this match, watch that match, and then I did, and then I jumped back into WWE through WrestleMania and seeing Cody switch over and all that. So don't get it twisted for my negativity towards AEW, because I feel AEW can be greater than what it's giving us right now. And like I said, WWE has its problems, but I view wrestling as where WrestleMania is the end of a season. And what WrestleMania transpired, I feel like I should give you my top five wrestlers currently. Now, this isn't who I feel is the best wrestlers in the world, the objective list of, no, this is who I personally think are not only the best, but my favorite. These are the guys that right now going into this new season of wrestling, I feel are not only some of the best wrestlers, but some of my favorite wrestlers. And each person on this list will have a reason why, and we'll go through it, men's and women's. So without further ado, let's start off with Dynasty. Dynasty was a very solid pay-per-view. There are particularly four matches. Let's run it down. Swerve Joe, Danielson, Ospreay, Tony Storm, and then the Bucks. Yeah, I want to give a side shout out to Willow versus Julia. I'm so happy Willow won the belt. We will get into more Willow love later down the line in the show. But in terms of Dynasty, the four matches that stood out to me were Swerve versus Joe, Danielson versus Ospreay, Tony Storm's match, and then FTR and the Bucks. We will do FTR and the Bucks last because that transitions into our overall AEW talk. Let's start off with the champion. Swerve Strickland beat Samoa Joe, and arguably, I understand people are going to say that the Danielson-Ospreay match was the best match overall in the sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? In the sense of, man, this match is great because it's a technical marvel. This match is great because it's the best in-ring work stuff that, you know, we come to expect when you get Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. But for me, I enjoyed the Swerve Joe match more because I was invested into the story. Let's be frank. Danielson and Ospreay had no story. The story was who's the better wrestler. That gets old after a while, man. And it seems like for Tony, when it comes to Ospreay, that's the type of storytelling he likes to do. So for me, Joe and Swerve was my favorite match because of the story going into it of, you know, Swerve thought he had him at the last pay-per-view. Hangman tapped and, you know, Joe felt, nah, bro, I beat you. And Swerve was like, no, this is mine. I've worked so hard for this. Let me prove you wrong. And it was about Swerve gaining Joe's respect. That was this underlying story in proving he can be AEW champion. Everything he went through, proving it. And I go back to one line, particularly, that Joe said about how Swerve choked. And if you look at it, Swerve has choked in some of these big moments, whether that was with Keith Lee and Swerve in Our Glory losing to The Acclaim, or whether it was against Hangman in the first match that they, the one that Hangman won, or the championship match with Joe. Swerve has had some choking moments. He has. And then as well as things in the Continental Classic. Some could say Swerve should have won that. But, you know, Swerve choked on some things there too. So it was about gaining Joe's respect and not only proving to the fans and the world that he's championship material, but I believe it was also deep down him proving to himself because, look, maybe I connect with Swerve a little more because when I hear his stuff as an African-American, I know how hard it is for people of color to get to the positions that they feel that they ultimately deserve it being at, in positions that they're not only overqualified for, but the talent's there. But when you don't get some of those positions and you don't get to the top, you start to lose doubt. And this was him proving himself. There's no doubt. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to be the champion. And it is what it is. And when Swerve won, it was great. And I love the moment where he's about to do the stomp and he takes it in. He steps up. He looks to the crowd, spreads his arms, deep breath, stomps on Joe, takes it in. And bravo to Joe, getting out the ring, hurrying, selling everything Swerve did so Swerve could have his moment. The spot on concrete, crazy. Seeing Swerve powerbomb Joe, crazy. I just loved everything about this match. I'm giving it a solid 4.7. For fives is the Swerve Texas Death match. This is not that. 4.7, loved it. I'm not going to do ratings for all of them because, like I said, I'm going to save that for when me and Pete go. But next we got Ospreay Danielson. This match was great. I like the story. And see, now Ospreay is getting story with the Tiger Driver 91. And the fact that he's about to face Roderick Strong for the international title, someone who has had injury issues, that's the story of Ospreay not doing this move, the Don Callis family wanting him to do this move, him breaking free from Don Callis, becoming a babyface, becoming a hero of AEW, starting up Aussie Open, United Empire, starting up United Empire, once again, getting away from Don Callis, getting Kyle Fletcher back, getting Fletcher's tag team partner back, and becoming a true hero of AEW. And if you have Swerve as the main champion, Ospreay can hold down the international championship for a year. Like, honestly, like you can have Ospreay hold it down because I know people want Ospreay to win the main championship at All In. But if you do that, that makes Swerve seem like a transitional championship. No, Swerve is incredibly over. keep doing that. And if you build up Swerve, you have Ospreay as well. Now you have multiple stars, and you're not just relying on the Danielsons, the Moxleys, the Adam Copelands to lead these things. If you have those two guys as your face champions, you're in for it. So the Tiger Driver thing that he did on Brian was great. And I don't think Brian was really having a seizure. I think that was more so him acting in character. And it got me. Let me just say that. It got me, and I was invested in everything Ospreay does. The Oz Cutter, all of his moves, the Hidden Blade, him, after doing the Tiger Driver 91, not seeing the doctors or whatever and saying, "Nah, I'm ending this Hidden Blade in Danielson." Bravo, 4.5 match. Loved it. There's not much more I can say because you guys have heard it all this week from other people. And Pete's more of the Ospreay stan here. Like when he gives Cody Rhodes to me, I usually give the Ospreay stuff to him. But love the match. Next one we have is Tony Storm's match, which against Thunder Rosa. And before Thunder Rosa got hurt, I wasn't the biggest fan. Thunder Rosa is winning me over. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting to know more of her personality on Busted Open. That way, I understand her more as a person. That way, I can understand her character more. Because, look, the women's division is slowly getting better, but they don't give these women the best of time to tell their stories. So I think Thunder got a great opportunity against Toni Storm to really get across what they were trying to do. And the paint stuff, accepting the badass that she is, and then trying to overcome Tony, but she couldn't. Tony's on a run right now. Tony is killing this gimmick, and this was her best match of the entire run so far. What her and Thunder did was a chef's kiss, masterclass. Bravo to them. If the first match got 4.7, Danielson got 4.5, Thunder and them getting 4.3. It was that damn good. I got to give it to them. It was great, and they had me enthralled. The final match was FTR in the Bucks. And so at times this match was great. I thought for a ladder match, they were really going for it. And then at times I was like, what's happening? Like, I don't know if I missed when Dax got busted open, but like, I wish I would have saw that a little cleaner. But man, some of the spots, Cash Wheeler, jumping into that table with, I think it was Nick Jackson jumping out the way. And then you have whatchamacallit, you have Dax messing up that move on the ladder, hitting his knee. Like, this match was vicious, so much so that the fans are cheering, "Please be careful." The spots they did were intense. And boy, the way that Cash Wheeler, when he is going 100 miles an hour, jumping out of things or jumping onto things, he's a cannonball, man. He's a legitimate cannonball. And I just think the Bucks and FTR have amazing chemistry. Like I said, some points were weird, but this match was just adrenaline pumping, great ladder goodness. This one's getting a solid 4-4 right there. These four matches I legitimately thought were the best matches on the card, and they were some of the best matches of the year, in my opinion. Now, the finish with Jack Perry, saw that coming. Knew a scapegoat was going to get involved. I definitely like the scapegoat angle. And this is where I'm going to get positive before I lead into some of the negatives going into Wednesday's Dynamite. I love the scapegoat angle. I think Jack Perry has character here, him versus the establishment. And we saw with the finale, and let me do the positives first, because now I'm leading into current AEW talk. So the positives are, I think this could be great where the Bucks, people saying Bloodline, no. This is NWO-esque, because I get it's not necessarily they're going for NWO, these outsiders coming in, taking over WCW. No. What they're doing is very interesting. It is the AEW originals feeling that Tony Khan is straying away from the message of AEW. It's interesting because one of the guys that you could argue Tony Khan is shifting for is in the Elite, who is Kazuchika Okada. Because you could say, honestly, that Tony is paying more attention to these former WWE guys and these big name signings, Ospreay, Okada, Mercedes, Adam Copeland. He's changing the idea of what AEW should be about. And we are the revolution. We're the elite. We're the E-N-A-E-W, and we're going to make it right along with Scapegoat. We don't like what Tony's been doing. So that idea of them being this twisted villain, where are they right? Are they wrong? Is Tony in the wrong? Because you can kind of play into real life stuff about how he handled CM Punk, how some of this stuff happened. Is Tony in the wrong? Is Tony really the ultimate bad guy? Question. So that's the positives of this. And having Jack Perry in this, this gives him the most meat on the bones he's had his entire time there. MJF told him he needed to go heel. MJF was right. Shout out to you, Maxwell. They miss you, brother. But the thing is, Jack Perry, most interesting he's been. That stuff is great. I don't like that Tony Khan booked himself as the main event when you did not showcase your champion. And I know people are going to say, well, Lennon, did you watch Collision? Yes, I did. I will get to the positives of my guy, Swerve Strickland, because I'm a big Swerve Strickland fan. Big, huge. I don't like that Tony Khan valued this segment, that himself putting himself over more than the AEW championship. Not only did you say, hey, well, Swerve, you're the champion, this stuff matters more. Moxley being the main event wrestling match for the IWGP championship shows that that belt matters more. You gave Jericho time to talk. Jericho with the FTW championship? Let me look at Jericho. Come on, dog. Come on, dog. You said that Jericho mattered more by letting him talk. Like, that's ridiculous. And Willow, I love Willow, but you said that championship matters more by doing that. Everyone else got more time than Swerve, and Swerve had to battle Kyle Fletcher. Not he even started. You let Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy start. We're not letting the first black AEW champion, the new dynasty, the new era. You're not letting this guy talk. And I know I'm going to keep saying it because it was brought up in the beginning how Tony Khan does not know how to book black athletes and how he messes up when it comes to his black wrestlers. This is an example of that. And I don't want y'all to say, oh, Lennon's making a race thing. I'm not. It's just what I see. Like, Swerve should have either started the show or been the main event. I don't give a damn. Give him 10 to 15 minutes to just cut loose and talk. The way they did it on Collision was much better. You have him talk. He's the main event against Claudio, an actual worthy opponent, someone who has won. Kyle Fletcher has been a loser. Kyle Fletcher's a great wrestler, but he's been a loser. And if your rankings, some of the main thing, your story is built around these damn rankings, if they matter, he should not have fought Kyle Fletcher in a freaking eliminator match. What? Bullshit. That is utter bullshit and dog shit. Swerve should not have had to wait till Saturday to be able to speak and tell you his mind about the AEW championship. He should have spoke on the main show. The fact of the matter is, Tony, you valued your damn story with the Elite. You valued John Moxley. You valued Willow Nightingale. And I'm not upset about the Willow Nightingale thing. Let me make that perfectly clear. Willow's story with Mercedes is one of the best damn stories in AEW right now. And we'll get to that. You valued freaking Chris Jericho in the FT fucking W championship. No disrespect, Taz. I love you and Hook. Y'all are some, Taz, you were my favorite ECW wrestler. But let's call a fucking spade a spade. That belt should, Chris Jericho shouldn't have been fucking talking. Cut his minutes and give that to Swerve. That is disrespectful as hell. You wouldn't have done that to Jon Moxley. You wouldn't have damn sure done that to CM Punk. You wouldn't even done that to MJF. Why are you doing it to the black champion? Why are you doing it to the black champion? I'm going to ask. You did Ricky Stark so damn dirty. Ricky isn't even wrestling right now. The Acclaim can't sniff the popularity that they had. They were hot as fish grease. Like, but you blow it up. Swerve got himself over with Swerve and Our Glory and Keith Lee, and you fuck it up. Don't fuck Willow up. Please, dear God, Don't fuck Swerve. Why do you do that to the black champion? You wouldn't have did that to Kenny Omega. You wouldn't have did that to Chris Jericho. You wouldn't have did that to MJF. You damn sure wouldn't have did that to CM Punk or Moxley. Why are you doing it to Swerve? Why are you doing it to him? Because Swerve's, he's going to just go along with the plan. He's not going to argue back. He's trying to be a good worker. Are you doing it to him because, Swerve, black, this other stuff matters more. And I don't think Tony Khan's a racist, but it's the optics. The optics. The optics are horrible. Horrible. Do better, AEW. Do better. And I don't give a damn. I'm saying it again. I don't give a damn about Saturday. He shouldn't have had to wait to Saturday. That's the AEW champion. That's the belt that matters the most in this freaking company. They would have never done that to Cody Rhodes. They wouldn't have done that to Roman Reigns in WWE. God damn it. Cody Rhodes, I got mad, and I didn't tweet this. I was waiting to say this. I got mad that Cody Rhodes was going on a tour with his damn belt for 3 weeks. Get back in the ring and wrestle, brother. You were supposed to be the wrestling champion. And we're going to get to Cody, because he had a great match with Melo. And for people comparing Melo's match with Cody to Kyle Fletcher, bullshit. Cody did not wrestle for the first damn near 2 weeks after WrestleMania. It was 4 shows I was watching where I'm thinking, oh yeah, we about to get to it. This nigga just parading around the belt saying thank you. And we got to it this past week. And, you know, with AJ and with Melo, we getting to it. But Swerve should not have had to battle Kyle Fletcher. You should have did what you did on Saturday on Dynamite. That's what you should have did. Make the IWGP Championship the main event on Collision. Oh, but can you not do that because of your ties with New Japan? Does the New Japan belt matter more than the AEW Championship? That's what you're saying. You're either saying that, or you're saying that Swerve, as the black champion, doesn't matter as much as your previous white champions or some of these other champions. Horrible look, Tony Khan. Horrible look. I pray that you prove me wrong, because I want to come in here and say Tony did right by Swerve. Tony did right by Swerve. And Swerve showed, if you'd have gave him the mic, he was impassionate. I took notes on what he did. The way that Swerve is over, he is dumb over, bro. Swerve is ridiculously over. The way that the people were championing him, saying Swerve's house, rightfully so, when he's walking out, they're loving it. And it was rightfully so. We got to see an impassioned speech about Swerve. Swerve touched on the Tony Khan and Jack Perry stuff, called him a bitch, and basically said he's done bad things, but he would never attack someone who couldn't fight or a non-fighter. Basically saying Tony Khan is... And he didn't say this, but this is what's implied, saying, why would you fight a wimp? Why would you fight this weak person when you know they can't defend themselves? They're not a fighter, essentially. And he used that as a way to try to show, hey, I'm transitioning to a babyface. Yes, I made mistakes in my past, but I don't want to let my past define me. And he goes into that by saying about missing time with his daughter and missing time in his daughter's life. And chasing this dream of his to make a better life for them. And he's saying that he's going to use this championship to show them hard work pays off. Yes, we may have missed some time, but I'm going to prove to you that this hard work, if you work hard, you can accomplish your dreams. And I promise I'll make it worth it by doing this in honor of you guys. And, you know, as someone who, you know, is trying to claw tooth and nail to get to the top of where I want to be in my industry, I can relate to Swerve. There's things I've missed. I literally just started rekindling my relationship with my friends. I miss multiple events. We go on a yearly Destin trip. I miss that because I had stuff with the radio, stuff with the pod. You miss these things trying to get to where you want to go. You miss all these things with people who are important to you because you're chasing your dream. You're chasing your passion. If I'm not behind this mic, if Swerve's not in the ring, he doesn't feel like his life has value. You know what I'm saying? And I know people are going to say, but you always got to make time for your loved ones. Of course. But you if you aren't able to do what you love, then is life worth living? You know, it gets down to that. And it's relatable. It's a relatable thing. And that's what should have been said on Wednesday, not this damn match with Kyle Fletcher. But I digress. I will say, quick prediction. Is Jack Perry going to be Swerve's opponent at Double or Nothing? Because he did call out Jack. That would be an interesting match. I don't know if you could have Jack lose because the EVP, you know, that makes things weird. You could have it to where Swerve is battling the EVPs where, you know, Jack may win at first. Swerve gets a team with Kenny. They battle. And then you have Swerve take the belt back from Jack. I don't know if people would be down with Swerve losing, but if it's in honor of telling the story where Swerve is the leader of Team AEW and ends up with the belt, then I'm okay with it. You could have Swerve, Kenny Omega, have Will Ospreay come in as the international champion and be like, hey, I know I'm new here, but I'm following your lead, Swerve, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe you could throw Adam Copeland in there as like this veteran who is taking on Sting. You could have Sting come and talk to him and say, Adam, you're the veteran here. I need you to represent Team AEW. That sort of thing. So I don't know if you want to muddy the waters with the World Championship because it does do that. You could keep the storyline separate. If you do, then maybe the team will consist of Hangman, Kenny. But the thing with Hangman, though, I want Hangman to come back as a heel. So I don't know if you do Hangman. You can do, again, Kenny has to be on it. Maybe you put Daniel Garcia, someone to fight Jack Perry. I would say if my boy Darby Allin was healthy, you could do him. If MJF comes back, you could have Kenny and MJF. I definitely think MJF is perfect for this. If you don't want to put Swerve in this stuff, not muddy the waters, as well as Ospreay, not muddy the waters, have MJF, Kenny. I'm trying to think of some other Orange Cassidy, maybe, or even Moxley. Honestly, you could do MJF, Moxley, Kenny, and Eddie Kingston. Those are the AEW guys, and you could have them versus Jack Perry, again, if you don't want to do the Swerve idea. But we need to find out Swerve opponent next week. I'm excited to see who that is. But let's get to, and again, I did say Ospreay. I'm super interested in him and Roderick Strong because of that storyline. Oh, the Willow storyline. It is incredible. I loved Willow's talking more so than any of the other champions talking at Dynamite this past week. I liked it even more so than the segment with Tony Khan, because let me tell you why. Willow got a championship that she feels she has an asterisk by because Mercedes got injured, and she's doing everything to prove, I am a champion. There shouldn't be an asterisk by it. I am the best. This is what I've been fighting for so long, and I love that. And Mercedes is coming in as this heel that's like, hey, you injured me. You don't deserve this. I'm the CEO of this bitch. Give me my shit. I do feel like Statlander may turn because I feel like Statlander may have been the person that beat up Mercedes and not Julia Hart, or Stokely paid someone to, and Stokely is secretly working to be Mercedes' manager. I like that idea more so than Stat, because I could see Stokely turning on Willow following the hot hand and him working in the shadows to get Mercedes the championship. So I could definitely see that being the case. But the promo, I love Willow. I think Willow has gotten better as a talker. And in the ring, I'm going to say how I feel. In the ring, she's top tier. Top tier. The death match that she had, her and Stats death match against, I forget who, was it Anna Jay? It might have been Anna Jay and Ty Monti, it was whatever death match Willow was in. That was the match that showed me she is incredible. And I'm thinking of that one, but there was also a solo death match that she did with Ruby Soho, or it might have been her and Ruby Soho and not her and Stat. Whatever it was incredible. So those matches, every time Willow does a death match, I'm thoroughly impressed. But I want to see her versus Mercedes. I feel like Mercedes will win. You get the Stokely turn. And then you could have Willow beat her when it's time for Mercedes to go and do the AEW champion. You could do that as like a little tune-up series. And then if there's a, let me see if there's a pay-per-view between Double or Nothing and All In. Because if there is, you can let Mercedes lose at the one that's in between and then go for it at All In or All Out. Let's see. Let me see really quickly. So after Double or Nothing, you have Forbidden Door. So you could have, technically, in Forbidden Door is from June 30th, and then All In's August 25th. So you could have Mercedes win at Double or Nothing, lose to Willow at Forbidden Door, and then say, you know what? I'm going for the main thing. I'm the CEO. Go for All In and get the belt, or have it at All Out, whichever one. But I definitely think Willow should lose the first one, win the second one, because the story of her, you know, the story that she has, she's the underdog. So let her, you know, lose this, get down. She builds herself back up, wins again. Perfect. But that's if Tony Khan views her as this. I view her as this star. I hope he does, because she is bringing greatness to this TBS championship. Reward her. All right, let's go to WWE. The draft sucked. Call a spade, draft sucked. It was basically them retaining talent, no major shakeups. The Bron Breakker thing made no sense. You signed him to SmackDown, you shake it up, send him to Raw. It's like, what is happening? But I love that Melo's on SmackDown. Obviously, you have to separate Melo and Bron. I personally would like Ilya to go to Raw. Let Ilya go to Raw, wherever Gunther is, and have that be the battle. And keep Ilya away from Melo. Keep Braun away from Melo. Separate them and have that go out. But shout out to Melo and Cody. Great match. The way that Melo sold that disaster kick and when they both jumped, missed the cutters, I thought that was great. Melo showed why he is the future. The fact that he got to come out and battle the champion and Triple H acknowledge him, he was the first male selected for SmackDown, shows he is the future, baby. That was the current face of WWE versus the future of WWE, which is Melo and Braun. But all right, let's get into now the main topic, my top five active wrestlers. Now, when I say active, I'm not including Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kenny Omega, even though I know Kenny Omega comes back Wednesday, not including him. Hangman, MJF, CM Punk, Adam Cole are guys like that. Rhea Ripley is not included either because she got injured and I wanted to include her, but I felt if I did, then that, why can't I make that excuse for Roman? Why can't I make that excuse for Hangman? So we're talking today, April 28th, who are Lyndon's favorite slash best? These are not objective best. These favorite slash top. Let me say top because this is not objective best. This is my top favorite wrestlers. So we'll start off with the women at number five, or I'll do honorable. I'm gonna do number five up to one, because if I do it that way, if I say the honorable mentions, it'll shock and blow the list. At number five, we got Jade Cargill. I think by the end of the year, Jade could be up even higher. I'm ecstatic to see her in this tag team with Bianca. Jade right now may not be the best in ring, but the aura that she brings, the way she talks, the moves she can do, chef's kiss. She seems like, when you think of the women's division in WWE, you think of dominance. You think of Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. You think of, in terms of unbeatable monsters, Nia Jax. Jade Cargill has a little bit of all three. She can be a monstrous force like Nia Jax. She can be dominant like a Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley. And she can talk shit like Rhea Ripley. Jade Cargill coming in at number five. The little bit of time she's been in WWE, she has already made an impact on me. She's number five. At number four, we have the AEW champion, Toni Storm. I think Toni Storm is having some of the best work of her career. I think she has one of the best characters in AEW. I think Toni's moveset is great. I think her faction is great. Toni Storm's coming in at number four. At number three, this person doesn't win a lot. This pick is strictly character base. Her character is arguably the best women's character outside of Toni Storm in all of wrestling. And I like her character more than Toni Storm's character. And then when you actually let her wrestle, she can go, baby. I'm talking Chelsea Green. Shout out to Samantha Irving. Someone told me you can't say her name unless you say Chelsea Green. So Chelsea is my number three. Like I said, character base. That Karen character is amazing. Every time Chelsea's on screen, I am locked in. I believe it. She lives it. And I want her to get a belt. But I remember her Chris Van Vliet interview where she was like, a belt doesn't determine whether or not I am great or not. It's whether or not you remember my character. It's whether or not my character makes an impact. And she is doing all of that and then some. I just think of the match where Becky won the belt, the women's championship, where it was like this Rumble Battle Royale style match. And Chelsea Green gets eliminated. The ref doesn't see. She crawls back in, baby. And like, it's just, that's Chelsea Green shit. The way, and you think of the other match, the Royal Rumble, where she was just getting ragdolled by all the heavy hitters. And the way she acted that out, chef's kiss. The moment Chelsea Green came back to WWE, entered in the Rumble, was the fastest woman eliminated. She, from that moment till now, has embodied that character, has made that character one of the best characters, not just in the women's division, not just in women's wrestling, but in all of wrestling. Shout out to Chelsea Green. I'm giving her flowers. She's number three on the list for me. Number two, this is a young girl who I see so much potential in. The way that she handled NXT last year, leading into Elimination Chamber and her work on the main roster to now, she is my number two current right now on April 28th, Tiffany Stratton. I would love to see Tiffany beat Bayley. I don't think it's going to happen because she's fighting Bayley in Naomi at Backlash. I think Tiffany will get a belt at some point. They're just, you know, maybe waiting. And it might be too early. Build her up. Let her get more heelish. Let her develop her character more. But in terms of moves in the ring, in terms of natural heel, Tiff has it. Number one, Willow Nightingale. Willow, I feel, is the best women's wrestler. I will say, caveat, if Rhea Ripley was included, she would be number one, Willow would be number two, or if not, tied with Rhea. I love Willow Nightingale. Like I said, what she represents, the way that she is telling this underdog story, the way that she embraces being herself, the way that she embraces being a great wrestler, no matter what anybody tells her. I believe she is inspirational. I love Willow Nightingale, and she's my number one. And I know people are going to be like, well, damn, where's Bianca? Well, honorable mention, we got Bianca Belair, Bayley, Nia Jax, Deonna Purrazzo. You want to say Nia has been incredible since she's returned. Bianca, for me, I think will be on this list at the end of the year because of her tag team work with Jade and getting a good feud. I just got a little Bianca fatigue after her losing the belt because I felt like she hasn't had a good story after losing the belt. But getting her with Jade and getting this tag team and having Jade eventually turn on her, or maybe having Bianca turn on her, will put her higher on the list. And then Bayley's at the top of the honorable mention. I mean, shout out Bayley. I need to just get more into this new babyface character, and I'm sure you can be on the list. All right, let's jump to the men's, where I will give my honorable mentions first for these because the Bianca thing I didn't want to, you know, throw off, but I feel like these honorable mentions are understandable. There's no shockers really in these. So I'm going to start off with my first honorable mention. He's not in AEW. He's not in WWE. He's in New Japan. He is my favorite New Japan wrestler. He is incredible, bro. This guy not only has a killer look, this guy has a killer moveset with his, he like does this pile driver where he sits down and turn it. It's insane. The guy tore his bicep and kept working. He is not only an incredible athlete, he has the swagger. To me, he's a future Bullet Club leader, or if they want They could have a dual Bullet Club leader with him and the other New Japan guy I got on here. But number one, I'm saying, is Driller Maloney. I think Driller Maloney is just as good as a wrestler as people be talking about Ilya and all these others. Driller is incredible. Plus, where I think Ilya and Gunther don't necessarily talk as well, Driller kills it on the mic, boy. Driller is a mic killer. Shout out to you, Driller Maloney. Next, I got Ilya Dragunov. Legitimately top three in-ring wrestlers in WWE, straight up. Outside the ring, I don't necessarily buy into Ilya's mic work as much. I think that's where he needs to get better, but Ilya's honorable mention. We also have Gabe Kidd from New Japan, my other New Japan guy. This guy is a psychopath, brother. Like, this guy plays heel to the best. Like, Driller has that hitman Bullet Club in him, but Driller has swagger. This dude, like, let me look at it in terms of this. So when you think of famous hitmen, Agent 47 is Driller. Driller is a little Agent 47. Driller is, I think, Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, whereas Gabe Kidd is Vicious. And if you want a real, like, a non-anime one, he is Anton Chigurh. This dude is straight. And maybe Chigurh's too clean cut. Maybe I need someone a little more crazy, because Gabe Kidd is the type of dude that'll bite your ear off and spit it out and lick the blood, rub it all over his face. This dude is insane. Like, Gabe Kidd is a monster. Honorable mention. So shout out to him. They are my two favorite war dogs and my two favorite people in New Japan. Shout out to Solo Sikoa, loving what he's doing as the leader of this new bloodline, wearing a suit. Roman never wore a suit. Different style of leader. Roman was this godfather, suave, Don leader, whereas Solo is more of this killer hitman type leader. Solo is this kill first, ask questions type leader. I love the gloves. I love the suit. He is 100% hitman killer type of leader. I'm trying to think of one for him. And when I think of Roman, I think of Ving Rhames from Pulp Fiction. Marcellus Wallace. Marcellus Wallace is a cool motherfucker. That's not Solo. Solo is more so Tony Montana at the end of Scarface. Solo is more so like just this, I'm gonna get in and get my hands dirty. Solo is Tommy. Yeah, there we go, for my power people. If Roman is Ghost, Solo is Tommy on Force. Shoot first, ask questions later. Love the giving Solo characterization. Love it. And he deserves to be on honorable mention. Also, Jay freaking White. Jay White is incredible as a heel, incredible in-ring, but I hate what Tony Khan's doing with him. I hate that he's in the trios. When he squared off with Will Ospreay, you felt that electricness. Boy, if Will Ospreay wins that international championship, I want Jay White to go against him. Jay White needs to be having a belt, man. I still think Jay White should have went to WWE. Still think it. Also, shout out to the Guns. They are an incredible tag team. They shouldn't be in the trios. They should be in tagging. I feel the same way about the Guns as I do about Jay White, but I feel stronger about Jay White than the Guns. But I think the Guns are a great tag team. Mm-hmm. I think they're a great tag team that should be more focused on tag teams. And same thing with the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed then got ice cold. I mean, people still screaming, we love the Acclaimed, but it's nowhere near at the fever pitch that it was. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. Nowhere near. So I feel those three, that's Tony Khan fault. Also, shout out to LA Knight. Love everything about LA Knight. Don't need to say much about him. I feel like he will be on this list post beating Logan Paul for the United States Championship. And got to shout out the new NXT champion, whoop that Trick Williams. That guy's incredible. But let's get into the list. At number five, he's the future of wrestling, in my opinion. He's the guy I'm putting all my money on. He can be just as good as Ospreay. He can be just as good as Ospreay in the ring and just as good of a talker and character as heel Cody Rhodes or Drew McIntyre. He has swag. He's not a horror type swagger like Swerve. No, he's the perfect version of what I would want from a black man who is a heel in 2024, and he's only growing. I have Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Hayes, excuse me. I was getting my basketball shit just crossed my mind. We got Carmelo Hayes, Melo don't miss. Melo can be just as good in the ring as Ricochet and Ospreay when they need him. He sells like a Johnny Gargano or HBK, and he can be the talker and viciousness of Cody Rhodes Bullet Club or Drew McIntyre. But as a black man exuding that swag, I just think of him feuding with Trick, sitting in that chair, all Eddie Guerrero-esque. Excuse me. I had to take another sip of water. Used to having a co-host where I can drink water when they talk, but I'm just going to let y'all know, and I promise I'll get better at it. Final sip. But Melo, I feel, is not only the future of WWE, but the future of wrestling. When we get to, let's say, 5-6 years down the line, when you ask who the best wrestler in the world, it'll probably be Ospreay and Melo, in my opinion. So at number four, we got this guy who is legitimately the most scary brawler in wrestling. This guy is one in WWE. This guy's one in AEW. This guy's one in New Japan. He is an ace, if I've ever seen one. He is the perfect anti-hero. He's heel at times. He's face at times. He is the modern-day Stone Cold Steve Austin. I got number four, John Moxley. I have been a Moxley stan since we started this podcast, since before this podcast, back when I used to watch The Shield. John Moxley is that dude, and he doesn't get his flowers enough. The fact that this guy is now the IWGP champion, he's earned it. He's shown why. He is literally the modern amalgamation of Terry Funk and Steve Austin. He has that Terry Funk quality of I'm a wrestler, I'm a brawl, and he has that don't give a fuck attitude of Stone Cold. Moxley is that dude. At number three, I cheated. I did a tie. Drew McIntyre, Will Ospreay. And the reason why I did it at number three, and the reason why I did it with these two dudes, is because I feel that they represent two different sides of the coin. Ospreay, best in-ring wrestler, objectively. I can say that. Objectively, best in-ring wrestler. But he has to get better at talking. Granted, he hasn't been bad. He has to get better. If he gets better, dude, sky's the limit for this guy. He is a wrestling god. This guy can just go in the ring. And then Drew McIntyre on the flip is arguably the best talker right now in wrestling. What he's doing with his character of heel Drew, perfect hater material, is obsessed with CM Punk, is a stan. The barb he sent at Sheamus on Raw last week, where he was like, you used to do banger after banger after banger, but ever since you've been injured, you've been doing burger after burger after burger. That was a bar, boy. Drew McIntyre deserves his flowers. He is arguably, again, the best talker in wrestling right now, one of the best heels in wrestling. I won't say the best, but one of the best heels in wrestling. Drew McIntyre, Will Ospreay, tied at number three. At number two, this guy has an incredible moveset. The kicks, the way he does kicks is incredible, whether it's his super kick, his drop kick, his house call, the double stomp. He is different. He's not afraid to do the huge spots. He used to be in Lucha Underground. He can get high fly, but he can show that I have strength the way he powerbombed Joe, the way on Collision he picked up Claudio Castagnoli. This guy is, if you love Ospreay, if you love all these guys you consider great in-ring, he's just as good, man. I got Swerve Strickland. Swerve can do it all in the ring, but his style. And then he had swagger. He can talk. He brings that horror element, that psychopath. If you need to heal, he can be this baby face. He can have swagger. I love it. He transitioned from heel to baby face right now, and he's like this tweener. He has to get rid of Nana to be a full baby face, but we'll see if that happens. The way he does the gritty instead of the Ric Flair strut, just perfect, man. Swerve Strickland is incredible. He's my number two. And at number one, I have the best babyface in not just WWE, all of wrestling. Not only can he do great striking, but he can high fly when he needed. He has his Randy Orton-inspired moveset. He has his Bullet Club-inspired moveset. He has his stuff he learned on the indies. He's a great talker. He is the champion of WWE. We got Cody Rhodes. Not much more I can say about Cody than I've already said on numerous podcasts. He, to me, is the best overall wrestler in the world, objectively. Will is the best in-ring, but being a wrestler is not just in-ring. It's telling stories. It's being characterization. It's can you talk on the mic? And to me, no one is doing that better than Cody Rhodes at this moment. Cody Rhodes is my number one wrestler. So let me give you the list again. At number one, we got Cody Rhodes. At number two, we have Swerve Strickland. At number three, we have Drew McIntyre / Will Ospreay. At number four, we have Jon Moxley. At number five, we have Carmelo Hayes. For the women, we have number one, Willow Nightingale. Number two, Tiffany Stratton. Number three, Chelsea Green. Number four, Toni Storm. And number five, Jade Cargill. Let me know what you think about the solo episodes, you guys. Like I said, we're going to get better as we continue to give you more content like this. I will get better. I'm getting back into the swing of doing solo stuff. So let me know what you think. Please, please, please. If there's anything you want me to discuss or want me and Pete to discuss, whether that's top five finishers. That's something I was thinking about the other day. Top five eras or doing a WWE draft, doing an AEW draft, doing whatever it is. Let us know. Also, Brian H. Waters will be coming on the program soon, as well as our guy, Jonathan, Johnny Wrestling from TikTok. He'll be on the pod before Brian H. Waters, but be on the lookout. Like I said, a lot more content coming. Be ready. Worksheet. We're diving all the way into wrestling. Follow me at LinBWT. Follow the Bros Who Think at Bros Who Think. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel for all this amazing wrestling content, and make sure you subscribe to the audio platforms for all of the upcoming wrestling pods we have coming. But until next time, you guys have a good one, and peace.